What is the best way to equip us for a post-Easter season? Essentially, everyone, after the sacrificial death and the victorious resurrection of the Lord, what comes next in the life of the believer? And I will tell you, and most of you already realize this, that usually when you experience a great experience with God, the next thing that you need to be ready for are spiritual attacks from the enemy. Hope you don't mind if I just speak plain this morning. When you're going to go somewhere with God and your family gets a breakthrough, the next thing you can expect is a counterattack from the enemy. Okay? Because the enemy does not want you to take your spiritual momentum and act on your spiritual momentum. The enemy wants you to be held back. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be unable to go deeper into the move of God in your life. Not going to candy coat it this morning. The Bible is too clear on this subject. When you are progressing in your walk with God, everybody, you're going to be met with temptations. You're going to be met with sinful opportunities. You're going to be met with opposition to what God is doing in your life. You're going to have to engage in some spiritual warfare if you're going to keep advancing. That's why for the next couple of messages that I preach, I'm speaking to us on developing the warrior within. Because God does not want you and your family to be held up. He wants you to stand strong and be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen, everybody. Thank God. And we do that by these two principles right here to develop the warrior within. Just two facts that I want you to kind of keep in your eye, your mind's eye for this series, this short series. Number one, look closely. God intends for you to be equipped for every attack that comes against you and your family. Come on, everybody say equipped. Now, the concept of being equipped is foreign to a lot of people because there are way too many people who are accustomed to being in and out comers of Christians, okay? What I mean by that is this. When you come to church, I don't want you to have this idea that you're just coming to check off your religious box for the week or to feel better about doing what you feel like you need to do or what people expect you to do. No, when you come and engage the things of God, understand that you're coming for the purpose of being equipped to face your battles. You're not just coming to say hello and to be seen at church. No, you're coming because God has got a ministry in place here. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that the ministry here is a gift to you for the purpose of equipping you for the work of the ministry and so that you can become mature unto the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So you're here to be equipped. Once more, everybody say equipped. And number two, God expects you to develop the warrior within you. Everybody say develop. He expects you to develop, to be equipped and developed, equipped and developed. This is how you grow from being vulnerable to Satan's schemes to being a man or woman who consistently wins against the enemy. How many of you guys love to win? Oh, come on. I'm a very competitive person. I hate to lose. I just want to win. And I love it when born-again people fight battles and come out on the other side winners. Amen. It's my favorite thing in the world is when you're a good person, man, you just love the Lord, you're doing your best, and you're a great man or woman of God, and we all have struggles, right? But you cling to God, and you just know. Listen, if you're a believer this morning, I want you to be reminded that you live in a spiritual war zone, where the enemy, Satan, uses all kinds of tactics in his attempt to defeat you. And those tactics are evident by some of the descriptions that the Bible uses to describe him. Let's just expose him for just a moment. The Bible calls him the deceiver in Revelation. The murderer, Jesus said. He's a murderer in John chapter 8. He's the tempter. Book of Revelation chapter 12 calls him the accuser of the brethren. 1 John says he's the wicked one. My favorite one is John 10:10. Jesus said he's the thief. He only comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So we're not dealing with an idea or a fixture of your imagination this morning. We're dealing with an evil entity that's designed and intent upon blocking you and defeating you this morning. Does everybody understand that? Look closely at these next three scriptures that describe the enemy's tactics. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, just says, lest Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what does that tell us about the enemy? It tells us he has devices. Look at the next one. John 8 and 44. Jesus is talking, because there's no truth in him. It's talking about the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What does that tell us about his traits? Well, he's got resources. Y'all see this, guys? Look at the third one, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that tells us that the enemy has a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. So let's expose the enemy right here. I want you to realize this morning as you look on your notes on the screen. Satan's war against God's people follows an organized strategy. He's tactical. He has devices, he has resources, he has a plan. Church, did you realize that some people have been through so much in their life that they think that everything they go through is just random? I don't ever want us to get into that bad habit of accrediting too much of what goes on to Satan. Sometimes people blame everything on the devil. Y'all realize that? I've seen this many times. People get their own self in trouble and turn around and blame the devil. Well, the devil's just after me again. Well, is it the devil, or you just can't change your behaviors? Oh, come on. But some people think that everything that goes on goes to Satan, but sometimes what we experience in life is just a coincidence. Y'all realize that, right? Things that happen to everybody sooner or later. But hear me. When your spiritual momentum is interrupted, and you're faced with the kind of temptation or the kind of opposition that puts distance between you and God, be aware. Because those are not consequences. You're being tried, you're being tested, because your enemy hates you. And he wants to dismantle your faith and put a halt to everything that God is doing in your life and in your family. He has a strategy. He is tactical. He has devices. He has resources. He has a plan. But I want to remind us this morning that God has a better plan. His plan always ends up with you on the side of victory. Come on. You just have to develop the spiritual warrior within you. I want to rely upon an Old Testament story for just a few moments to help us put this in perspective. Looking in your Bible or on your screen, at Judges chapter 11, they're looking at the story of Jephthah. Jephthah's an amazing story. I'm going to take a few moments and kind of read through a few lines of this story to help us see something unique here. In verse number 1, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. Read that one more time. Because I want you to see something. He's getting the description here of two different conditions. He's a mighty man of valor, and he's the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Look at verse 2. Watch close to what happens here. And they say the Bible doesn't have any drama. Come on. Gilead's wife bore sons. And when his sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Oh. Look at verse 3. Notice Jephthah's initial response. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Let's recount the circumstance. Jephthah, the Bible says, was a mighty man of valor. He was a great warrior. He was being developed from the inside out as somebody who was known as a warrior, a man of valor. But he had this thing in his life. Everybody in his life understood and knew where he came from. He was not his mother's son. He was the son, the product of an illicit affair of his dad and a prostitute. Notice that Jephthah had every reason to shut down. He had every reason to close shop in his heart and in his mind. He experienced the worst kind of rejection there is, the rejection of his family. Now, the enemy tried to dismantle Jephthah from the inside out, starting with his very identity, calling himself into question about where he came from and whether or not he was a legitimate part of the family. They kicked him out of the family. They said, "Your mother's a harlot. You're not really one of us. Our father, Gilead, he's one of these big judges of Israel, somebody that's very important. And we don't want the shame of having you around." So the scripture says Jephthah fled to the wilderness of Tob. But when we read this story, we find out something very unique about Jephthah. It said, although he fled and he was rejected, he didn't give up on who he was. He was a warrior at heart. And God would show him something so unique that reignited his faith in what God could do. Look what happens. Let's read on in the story. Verse 4. Y'all gonna love this. And it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Uh-oh. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." Y'all see anything wrong with that picture so far? See, years passed and he had gathered around him a band of worthless rogues and rebels and began to raid and build up his reputation as a mighty warrior. And now that his people were in trouble, they go to him and they say, "Hey, come back." Look at verse 7. So Jephthah said to the elders of Israel, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come now to me when you're in trouble?" Guys, I could preach right there for days. There are so many aspects of the promises of God and the power of God and the presence of God in your life that when you cling to what the Bible says about you and how effective the power of God is in your life, let me tell you, there's a promise all through the book of Psalms that says this exact thing will happen. When you hold closely and tightly to the promise of God's power in your life, the Bible says he'll cause your enemies to come to you and you'll lead them. This is an amazing thing. Jephthah says, "Wait a minute, guys. Just a while back, you hated me. You didn't even want to identify with me. You put me down. You said I was the product of a harlot, and you didn't want anything to do with me, so you kicked me out. Now, all of a sudden, you're in trouble, and you need what I got on the inside." Anybody in here got anything working on the inside right now? Let me tell you this. You might not believe that you've got it working on the inside this morning, but I'm here to remind you today that if you've got faith in God this morning, he's doing something on the inside of you that everybody around you don't understand. And if you'll continue to be faithful, there's a warrior within you that's being built. And when the enemy presents his schemes and his plots against your life, you're not going to be vulnerable to that junk all your life. You're going to rise up Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. Come on. Look at verse number 8. Here we go. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "This is why we've turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon, and look what it says, be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Oh, come on, somebody. You just thought that what the enemy tried to do to you to keep you held down was going to take effect and affect you your whole life. You just keep being faithful, church. Keep being faithful, man and woman of God. You keep holding on to God's unchanging hand and believe what that Bible says about you and your family. You keep believing that greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. You will not remain vulnerable to the enemy and his plots and schemes your whole life. There's a warrior being developed with inside of you. Y'all, listen to me now. I'm passionate about it this morning because I've been through this. I've been through this. I've been through these circumstances in my own life when people have tried to cast me as somebody who wasn't supposed to be somebody. How many know what I'm talking about right there? Am I talking to anybody this morning? I've been in these situations where people looked at my life and all they saw was a poor kid from a busted up home with a non-resident father as a child who grew up in abject poverty in a small town that people leave and don't come back from. And you don't believe the number of times that the enemy has tried to creep that garbage into my mind and into my life. I'm just testifying for a moment. Is that all right, God? The enemy has tried to just creep that stuff and those suggestions into my life to tell me, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to be this way. You're not supposed to be anybody because of your background, because of where you came from. But I remembered some things. I remembered about my mama speaking the word of God over me in my childhood. I remember her making me memorize things like, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Y'all hear me now? And that word rising up in your life exactly when you need to. See, what the enemy didn't understand about me and what he doesn't understand about some of you is that although you've been rejected, although you've been put down, although people have discounted you most of your life behind the scenes, God's been doing something on the inside. And there's been a warrior within you being developed and being equipped this whole time. So next time the enemy comes into your life, you're going to rise up with the voice of God by his word and say, no, I refuse, I reject, and I rebuke that evil suggestion. I will not be cast down, and I will not be dejected by what you said about me. I believe what God's word says about me. Come on, somebody. If you believe it, give him praise this morning. Give him a praise. Later on in this story, because Jephthah kept believing. Here's what he said. Here's what happened. Verse 29. Go ahead, guys. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. So Jephthah advanced. Everybody say advanced. Come on. How many of y'all ready to advance this morning? One more. Can you say it boldly? Say advanced. Come on. Let me proclaim this over your life this morning. You've been stuck too long. It's time to advance. Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them. And look what God did. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. A lot of us in this room this morning can identify with this story because you've experienced this kind of hurt, this kind of rejection, this disappointment, the tough stuff that the enemy will use to really shut you down. But hear me out, guys. Just like Jephthah, you've got something working on the inside, and if you'll develop that inner warrior of your life, the enemy does not have a chance in your life. You're going to be equipped and developed to face and overcome your challenges because of this truth that's in Ephesians 1. It's not a slide. Just listen close. Here's what it says. It says, there is exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe. according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly place. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that age which is to come. Can y'all receive it this morning? Yes. That word said there's an exceeding great power toward those who believe. I realize that all we hear sometimes is how bad things are, and all we hear sometimes is how weak you've got to be because of what happened to you or because of what somebody said about you. But you need to remind yourself this morning and hear me out this morning. Say, Pastor Brandon, I really need to understand what you're saying. Hear me out this morning. I'm saying this. What God says transcends what the world says. And when the world says that you are weak and vulnerable, his word says that there is an exceeding great power coming towards you for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is you are a believer. Y'all hear me this morning. I'm passionate about it because I see. When I look at people's life, I've always been this way. When I look at somebody's life, I don't see people in the framework of their reservations or in the framework of their limitations. When I'm looking at my life and I'm looking at your life and the life of this church, what I see is power. I don't see vulnerability. I see strength and influence. Come on now. I see provision and ground-breaking, life-changing, county-wide changing ministries and families finally getting the reconciliation and the restoration that you need. People of God, men of God, women of God, who finally can arise with power and confidence to say, you know what? I realize that those things happened to me. I realize I experienced the kind of rejection that should have shut me down for all of my life. But I also realize that God's word says that because Jesus died and rose again, and I'm believing it, there's an exceeding great power coming toward me. And that power far exceeds all principalities and all powers, all dominions and all names, every name. Amen. Because his name is the name above every name. Y'all hear me now? That power is expressed, equipped, and developed in our life through so many resources from God. But it needs to begin in us today, and for the purpose of this text today, we're almost done. Listen closely. Through what we commonly know as the armor of God. Everybody say the armor of God. I'm going to read it right now. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. This is just the beginning of the resources that God gives you to equip and develop the warrior within you this morning. Here it is. So much instruction, but so much provision. Ephesians 6, 10, 11 says this. You can read along your screen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can stop right there and remind us this morning that sometimes the reason why you get knocked down and it takes so long to get back up is because you're trying to face the enemy in your own strength. You think it's going to be the next big idea, the next relationship. You think it's going to be when you get enough money, when you get the promotion at work. You think it's going to be when your spouse changes or when your kids change. You'll finally get up. You'll finally stop getting pounded and beat up. Listen, it's not going to happen until you step outside of your own strength and obey the scripture right here, Ephesians 6:10. Be strong, not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Those are two different levels of strength right there. That's two resources right there. Here we go. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes. That word wiles just means crafty plots. crafty plots. Number 12. Here's where I want to kind of park for just a moment. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want to go back to our story for just a moment. Did you notice that Jephthah initially was tempted to wrestle some flesh and blood? Did y'all see that? He told him, wait a minute. Just a while back, didn't you hate me? Didn't you kick me out of the family because I wasn't worthy to be around you? He had every human fleshly right to walk away from his brothers that day and say, you know what? I wasn't good enough for you then, so I ain't good enough for you now. Let the Ammonites come in and kick your tail. Bye. Now, my flesh says, you know what? That's what the boy should have done. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to get us to do. So many times in this life, guys, watch this closely. I promise we're going to pray in just a moment. I want to pray an altar this morning because sometimes you're going through something and you need to experience the spiritual strength from corporate prayer. But watch this. The enemy, it's one of his primary tactics in his tactical strategy to take you out. He wants you to believe that your problem is people. He wants you to think that it's your brother, that the conflict and the tension that you feel has to do with some relationship with another person, that he wants you to think that it's your boss. That he wants you to think that it's your mom or your dad. The enemy exists to trick you and to fool you into thinking that it's your wife, or that it's your husband that's creating the tension and the conflict. Listen, your problem is not people. If you're a believer today, listen, watch this closely. You don't wrestle flesh and blood. You wrestle powers and principalities. I know people who've been spending years just looking for an opportunity to get back at a person, thinking that they're finally going to get some peace in their life if they can just finally one-up him or her. If I can just get back at this person, if I can just have this, y'all ain't going to like me for a minute, all right? Here we go. But try to, because I love you and I'm going to tell you some truth. If I can just get this person to apologize. What in the world does their apology have to do with you forgiving them? Stop wrestling flesh and blood. There's a spiritual issue driving all of your conflicts, and it's the enemy. And you need to go to the enemy with the spiritual authority that God has given you and the spiritual tools, because watch this closely. Spiritual battles require spiritual weapons. You can't win spiritual battles with fleshly weapons. Stop trying. Why should I stop trying, Brandon? Here's why. Because if you're trying to win a spiritual battle with a fleshly weapon today, in about 10, 12, 15 years, you're still going to be fighting that battle, and you're still going to be held up, and the enemy's going to have that victory in your life from all that wasted time. If you just get on your knees and give it to God and fight it in the Spirit and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, instead of trying to win the battle on your own, let the warrior within your life that God is developing, let him rise up. And use your spiritual weapons of defense and offense. Let's read right through this real quick. Verse number 13. Here we go. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Oh, all victory begins with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amazing. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. All the word studies on fiery darts, that means when people talk about you. They're shooting darts. It's your shield of faith that comes against the chatter against you and the lies against you. How does that work? Because you've got faith that the Bible says and means what it says. And it says, all those that rise against you, you shall condemn. Come on. And finally, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only offensive weapon in the army of God. Everything else is defensive. The only offensive weapon is the word of God. I'm going to point this out because we're talking about battle this morning and being a great warrior within. You need to begin to view the word of God as offensive in your life. I understand reading the Bible and learning it and being edified by it and becoming a better Christian because of it. But hear me out. It's also the sword of the Spirit. And you need to learn how to break that scripture open and memorize that scripture and speak that scripture over the garbage in your life and use that word offensively against your enemy. So many great things happen there. But finally, look closely at this, and we're going to pray just in just a moment. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I always like to make sure that we include in the Spirit prayer as part of God's armor. Because praying in the Spirit is how we get closer to God. So this morning I'm talking to warriors. There's people in here who's battling things, and I've been there, and I get it, man. We understand. And the reason why we're talking about this today is because after Easter, we had 20 people in this last Sunday morning say yes to Jesus in this church. 20. Amen. 12 in here in two services and 8 kids. Weren't y'all awesome to see all those kids getting baptized this morning? Yeah. The devil's a liar. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm talking to warriors today. How many believe it with me this morning that God's doing something in our life? Come on, in your life and in your family. Y'all stand with me all over the house this morning.